Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, really podcast, is for March 27th, 2022. We're going to be looking at how we interpret our life, which is a very interesting subject if you really think about it. How do you experience your life? As a philosophy, as maybe emotion, passion, impulse? What is your theory about your life? What is your, in essence, your interpretation? Not your philosophy. Your philosophy will come out of your interpretation. Most people, and I do work with some young people in the course of my efforts here at Aspire. I do session work with them, and they have not a clue. Millennials have no clue. But Gen Xers and Gen Yers, they have no clue how they got here. I always give them the opening story about, and this comes from a book by Bernard Shannon many, many moons ago. A man wakes up in a boat, in a luxury liner, and he goes up to the main deck, and there's all these people playing all sorts of games, and he's looking at them going, wait a minute, how did I get here? Why are they playing games? Where's this boat headed? So he goes to a couple of the players and he says, oh, how did we get here? They don't know. Well, where are we going? They don't know. What are you doing? We're playing deck games. And all of a sudden he looks over the side of the boat and there's someone who had just swept over the side, gone. He said, what was that? And they said, we don't know. It happens all the time. Then he took a little walk along the deck, and he saw people laying there in excruciating pain and suffering all sorts of difficulties, biologically, physically. He had no idea that he was on a boat, how he got there, or where it's headed. And that's how I would describe many of the people, young people, that have come to me for work, for trying to do inner work. Truth of the matter, they can't do anything. They can't do it because they have been, shall we say, entitled to not think in this term, not think in terms of what's going on. I have a couple of millennial students that they love to just, I'm a boomer, okay? I'm an old boomer. And they want to say to me, your generation screwed this all up. Well, yeah, okay, every generation screws this all up, every generation. And so what are you going to do about it? And they don't do anything but complain. They become the YOLOs. You only live once, forget everything. Just do what you want. It doesn't matter. It's too late to reverse the tide here and all of that. So with all of this, they have come to a place where they're not willing to do anything about the craziness of this world. And every generation has done this. And their parents, which are parents of the 70s and 80s, maybe even 90s, they didn't do anything either. All they thought about was sex, rock and roll, and drugs. That's it. So this is what we get, these kinds of people. So what you and I are going to be looking at today, I got two emails here, is how we interpret our life. From whence do we interpret it, and how do we come to conclusions about it to formulate philosophy, a philosophy about our life? First question comes from Ray in Canada. He doesn't tell me where in Canada, he just says Canada. I listen to you. He talks about listening to me every day. There's enough there on the website at aspire.org to listen to me for many years. Can I interpret my life accurately? Well, no. It depends. First of all, life is not up for interpretation. Now, you can think that life is up for interpretation, but it's not. Life is simply what it is. It is the expression, the revelation, and the reveal of how we have lived so unconsciously within ourselves. That's what it's all about. And if you really want to know what this life is all about, you must not, Ray, ever interpret it. You must observe it non-critically, non-judgmentally. And that is hard to do when we have such powerful analytical minds that want to see everything the way we want to see it. And it's slanted to my bias. Most of us live out of the bias of our genetic heritage, and our bias is used to interpret our DNA. Now, if you're a woman, your DNA is about having babies, making family, that kind of thing, and always with the thought of being a potential victim, weaker than a male. Now, in our current society, a lot of women are doing the Helen Reddy thing, you know, I am woman, I am strong, I am roaring, you know, that kind of thing. And they're as vindictive and ugly as men are. And men, as far as their DNA is concerned, it's about aggression and fighting and killing. So when you put the two together, what kind of offspring can they have? Really? What would you expect out of these two elements coming together? So when you're starting to look at how you interpret your life, if you're going to interpret it from your DNA, you're going to find that your genetics will come in and do the interpretation for you. You won't see it for what it really is. You'll see it only in the light of the prejudice, the bias of your genetic nature. I have mine, you have yours. Everybody has this. There is nobody that is pure, as it were. As Buddha said, nobody can do your work but you. So you have to see it for what it is and not get involved in the complications of interpretation. So if I'm to answer your question, can I, meaning you, Ray, interpret your life? Well, if you want to do that, you can, but it wouldn't be accurate. And that's the problem. It wouldn't be accurate. And you have to ask yourself, what am I looking for? Accuracy? Or am I looking for delusion and illusion? What I want it to be. Most people do not have the inner strength to really see things for the way they are because they're so busy living in the delusion of what they believe things are based on the heritage of their genetic nature that interprets everything by bias. And that bias is based in all sorts of things. The hereditary origins of you, your emotionality based on your mother and father's emotionality. It all boils down to the same old, same old. This is why we never find answers. And so when we have an interloper, you know, come into this world, like a Buddha or Jesus or Lhasa, and we've had many others, we don't listen to them. We don't buy them. They look like the cult. The cult. They can't be right because they don't agree with the norms of society and what people are enjoying and believing as the philosophy of their life, their interpretation of their life. They offer another alternative, and that alternative is spiritual awakening. That alternative is the reveal of love, real, authentic love. And people don't want anything to do with that. Nothing. They will fight and yell and scream if you or I introduce anything of a higher value than what their genetic and acuity can accept or understand, comprehend. And the problem with the world. So yeah, you can, if you want, interpret your life, if that's the way you want to live it. But if I were you, I wouldn't. I hope that helped you, Ray. I do. Thank you for writing me. Thank you for all your kind comments. And please forgive me. Namaste. Last question. How do I know if I am interpreting my life correctly? And this is from Jesse in Colorado. You won't know. It's not a matter of checking in with your intellect. There's no way to, am I right? Am I wrong? That's parochial thinking, very, very small-mindedness. What is right? What was right, you know, when I was born would not be right in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or the millennia. It just, things change. People change. Everything changes. You can't just sit there and think, well, what is right? Am I interpreting this correctly? It isn't about being correct and right. It is about, can I feel love in the way in which I live my life? Can I feel it? Can I acknowledge it? It is a matter of being authentic. And if I can be authentic in it, then something of the other shore can start to show up in my life, and I can start to see things in a different way. But if you're always checking in with your mind, you'll miss your intellect. So this requires silence, meditation. This requires developing a deeper, more profound experience other than the intellect. This is about finding the stage of spiritual awakening more than just human intuition. It is about the awakening. Now, that awakening, that whole experience is not something that can be explained here on this podcast. I am not skilled enough to tell you what that is like. I've experienced it, but there are no words for this. Absolutely none. It is inexplicable. And it is unconscionable when you think about the way in which we live our life. This unconscionable love is something that has no words to it. It is a direct experience. And should you be willing to go into that direct experience, to awaken to that direct experience, to give yourself over to the process of that direct experience, that is when things are going to start to evolve in your life. But until then, all you and I have is our day-to-day trudge in what we believe is good, what we believe is bad, what we believe is true, what we believe is false. And that's just nothing but garbage, you know? Anybody can interpret anything the way they want to interpret it, and that doesn't mean it's true. That just means that's my garbage. That's the way I look at things. And if that's enough for you, and usually it is, most people have a great deal to do with pride and vanity and all of that other stuff that is far from anything that is directly spiritual. So what am I to say? How will you know? Well, let me give you some things just quickly. Nobody's going to like you, okay? They're going to look at you and say you're in a cult or you're crazy or you've gone off the deep end. You're going to find you don't fit into the common demeanor of society. You'll find that you're an outcast for a while, maybe forever, and that people will misunderstand you and misinterpret you. Will you be able to earn a living? Oh, absolutely. Will you be able to eat and have a nice home and whatever? Well, that's up to you. But you're going to realize you're going to be like Jonathan Livingston Seagull, cast away from society as you know it. And you will have all sorts of interesting experiences just because you want to see how fast a gull can fly. Thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm done for the week. I'll be back next week. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.